He's the first American we have come upon. I would see him myself.
Uchicho turned to the rest of the band and held up his hand.
Mount up, brothers and sisters! Let us to war!
The trapper, Jorgen Smith, was 33 years old and lived in a hamlet a few miles inland. His wife had been killed 2 years earlier by a pack of Muti wolves. They had had no children. Now he was content to venture out each morning, if the wind wasn't blowing, to flay the skin off a man, and lay his traps for the beaver that still lived in the streams that ran fast and clean toward the sea. The water was saved from freezing only by the warm slopes of the live volcanoes where the streams began. Kneeling in the snow, he sang to himself as he worked, fighting the loneliness and isolation. His battered Remington M700 sporting rifle was at his side in its sheath of caribou skin. The gun, a family heirloom, showed the scars of 100 years of constant use. It fired 7mm cartridges, of which the community now had less than 100 rounds left. Soon they would either have to barter for more or rechamber the rifle. The Garand-type ejector, a spring-loaded plunger tucked in the bolt face, had broken in Jorgen's father's time, and a manual ejector had been rigged up by an itinerant blacksmith who visited each hamlet in the far northwest every 2 or 3 years.
Then he bit me where I sat down. Then he chased me all over town.
Tying thin strips of rawhide, Smith fumbled with a stubborn knot, considering risking the removal of his gloves. He'd already lost his thumb and 2 fingers from his left hand by getting them wet and frozen the day he tried to rescue Jenny from the wolves. He caught a glimmer of movement out of the corner of his eye, where his goggles were cracked. Quickly pushing them up on his forehead, Jorgen reached for his rifle, dropping the trapping lines in the snow. On the ridge behind him, silhouetted against the pallid sky, there was a man on a horse, a huge black stallion, much bigger than the little ponies that most folks ride. A gun of a design that Jorgen Smith could not identify was slung across the man's shoulders. The stranger was joined by a second rider, then a third and fourth, then more than Jorgen could count. Holding his Remington, he stood up, waiting as they approached. To see so many strangers was something utterly beyond his experience. They could only be traders, with their goods on the pack horses at the rear of the column. But with their guns, they looked very threatening. Perhaps they were worried about muties. Guns were what kept muties away from the scattered villages. Uchicho halted his stallion a dozen steps from the man, staring at him curiously, disappointed in a strange way that this American looked so like the wretched peasants on the Russian side of the Bering Strait. He wore torn and ragged furs and boots that seemed to be no more than strips of cloth and leather wrapped around his feet.
Ah, there, you trading? I got some skins.
What does he say, Uchitil? Should I kill him?
No, Pietchal. Wait. I have a book that teaches how to talk to these Americans. It is here.
Fumbling in his saddlebag, he pulled out a dog-eared volume. On the front cover it said, Convenient Conversations for the Traveler for Any Eventuality. It was written by G. Deleuze and offered easy translations from the Russian tongue to the American and vice versa in 70 different social causes with full index. It was published by Strafford Books in 1925. Trying to be casual, Jorgen hooked his rifle so that it lay cradled in his arms, pointing in the general direction of the tall man with the kindly smile and the odd-colored eyes. Something was very wrong here. His finger touched the Remington's slim trigger, a 3-inch nail that had been used to replace the original trigger when it had rusted through.
You want direction somewhere? Are you lost? Where are you from?
Uchicho ignored him, flicking through the pages until he found what he wanted. Holding the book in his right hand, he raised his voice so that the rest of the Narodniki could hear and admire. As he was about to begin, he heard a snigger.
Perhaps, Krisa, I shall give you some cause for laughter in a while. You can laugh as your rat's belly is slit and filled with pyrotabs, then set on fire.
Krisa blinked his narrow little red eyes in sudden gut-twisting fear.
I am sorry, Uchitil.
Hey, who the fuck are you guys? I don't know none of you.
To Uchicho, the man's accent was barbaric and grating. Yet Uchicho still tried to communicate.
Good morning. Can you direct me, us, them, to the house or mansion. We are awaited.
What the fuck are you talking about? Hey, you a fucking crowd of astute muties?
Uchichil tried again. He could feel a pulse beating at the corner of his right eye, which meant he was at risk of losing his temper. This imbecile was trying to make him look like a fool in front of everyone.
We are Narodniki.
He turned the pages with clumsy haste, his eyes brightening as he found what he wanted.
Once food.
Food? You crook-talking bastards want our food?
Something was going wrong. Uchichil could sense it. He blinked, trying to clear the reddish mist that clouded his vision. The man facing them was waving his rifle in a way that was clearly threatening. They could all see that. Pochka heeled his large horse forward to Uchichil's side.
The dog threatens us. Let me kill him, Uchichil.
Nyet. Wait.
Get the fuck out, you snow-sucking bastards. Go piss up an ice rope.
Jorgen put the Remington to his shoulder and aimed at the man who'd been doing the talking. Bochka saw the move and kicked his heels into the flanks of his big bay mare and, yelping his delight, drew the 9mm Makarov pistol from his belt. Jorgen Smith's old gun barked first, the 7mm bullet hitting the big Russian in the right shoulder. Bochka fell from his saddle, landing on his back in the snow. Jorgen grinned at his success, frantically struggling with the makeshift manual ejector on the ancient Remington. A few yards away, Uchichil stood in the stirrups and yelled a command to his band.
Nyet, do not shoot! He is mine!
During his foraging through the ruins of Yakutsk, Uchichil had found a glass case among the rubble of some public building. A card had said that the item within the case had been used by Comrade General Denisov in his valiant fight against the forces of capitalism and fascism during the first months of 1919. Now it hung from the pommel of Uchichil's saddle, a long cavalry sword with a slightly curved blade,